Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful Red Friday. We have so much to get into. We are going to cover this game from start to finish. We'll talk a little bit of college football. We'll talk a little bit about the fight today between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. Rob is calling this a fixed fight. He says that this is WWE and he wants absolutely nothing to do with it, but we will talk about it for just a bit. Let me give you guys the rundown before we dive headfirst into this game. Nick Costos from You Better You Bet is going to be on the show coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll take the gambling perspective of things. Steve Tasker is going to be on the show. He is one of the greatest Bills in the history of their organization. He is essentially their Danon Hughes on the Chiefs radio network. Excuse me. We have Steve Tasker on the show coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Trent McDuffie is going to be on the show today. You guys know our rules. If you are not named Patrick Mahomes, we do not ask football players football questions. So Trent McDuffie is going to be on the show. We're also going to have Nate Taylor on the show today as well. So we got a lot of football to get into. We got a lot of fun to get into in today's show. We are really excited for Sunday's game against the Buffalo Bills. If you missed the stat, this is the most important game or the biggest NFL regular season game since Chiefs and Rams, if you were taking in account both teams' records. So we are talking about, in my opinion, two of the best three teams in the National Football League. I would put it Kansas City 1, Detroit 2, and Buffalo 3. And those and two of those teams are meeting in Sunday in Buffalo. So really excited for this matchup. Happy that you guys are here. We're going to get to the game coming up momentarily. But before we do that, let's give you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6, 913-586-7965. Call number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether you're having some sort of fixed fight watch party or just want a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. It'd be great if you tell two friends, but I need you to tell one friend about some of the best pizza in Kansas City and your favorite sports talk show. This is where I would like to begin today's show, and I was thinking more about this as we had a segment yesterday that was around a lot of the memories and moments that we've seen in this matchup between these two teams. You had mistakes like what happened last year with Kadarius Toney.
Selling out, flag on the play, might be a free one. They've got Kelce at the 30, Kelce 25, angling back, 20. Now he's going to lateral it back at the 15-yard line. It's Toney, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City. They mess around in practice with this all the time. It's going to go with a 49-yard touchdown. Kelce, the old University of Cincinnati quarterback.
Offside. Number 19, offense, lined up in the neutral zone. 5-yard penalty. Check it out.
So whether it was the last regular season game between these two teams where Kadarius Toney was offside, took a touchdown off the board, and the Chiefs lose the game as a result of that penalty, or it was the missed field goal last year that stopped this game from being tied, Kansas City wins 27-24, and they run out the clock.
1:47 to go in the game on 4th down and 9 for the Buffalo. Placement down. Bass's kick is up, and the kick is no good. A little prophecy. Tyler Bass has struggled, and he just misses the kick.
Kansas City will next snap with a 34-yard.
And the Chiefs will take over at the point of the missed kick. Their own 34-yard line as Tyler Bass misses this wide to the right.
So the last time that these two teams played each other, the critical mistake was a drop from Stephon Diggs late in that game. Also a missed field goal from Tyler Bass. The last one here, and this is one of the greatest moments in the history of Arrowhead Stadium. It was the touchdown for the Chiefs to advance to yet another AFC Championship game as they were down 13, or they were down with 13 seconds left on the clock and came back to tie it up.
36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking right side. He wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fade comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Rob and I looked this up as we were getting ready for the show today. In the last four matchups between these two teams, Kansas City has scored 106 points. Buffalo has scored 104 points. In the games between these two teams, they have been fairly close of late. But what has separated each team and what has been why each team has lost is each team has made a very critical mistake late in this game, and that has defined who won or lost. I tell you guys this all the time, but we spend a lot of time in football games talking about this thing and this thing. When you really boil it down, football games are usually decided by 5 to 8 plays. I would say in the matchups between these two teams, they've usually been decided by 2 or 3 plays. My biggest point about this game is who is going to eliminate the mistake. I believe that this game is going to be close. That's all the Chiefs know how to do is play close games. I don't think that Buffalo is going to run away from Kansas City. I also don't think that Kansas City is going to go on the road and run away from the Buffalo Bills. These are two very talented, very similar, very equally matched teams that are going to be playing each other on Sunday. Who avoids the critical mistake? Who avoids the mental error like we saw with Kadarius Toney? Who avoids the physical error like a missed kick or an interception or a tip pass or something that tilts the favor in your opposition that has defined this game of late? Who is going to play crisp football? You don't need to necessarily play perfect football. The Chiefs were not perfect in the last game against these two teams. Mecole Hardman had a fumble as he was heading into the end zone that took points off the board. You are not expected to be perfect in this game. But late in this game, with 8 minutes to go, I assure you, this game is going to be a one-possession game on either side, and it is either going to be Patrick Mahomes making 1 or 2 plays more than the Buffalo Bills, or it's going to be a mistake that ends up determining who wins this game. I want to give you guys a couple of stats before we're joined by Nick Costos, and we're going to bounce back and forth between having guests and giving you guys our thoughts and opinions on the game. Patrick Mahomes is quite possibly the greatest underdog quarterback in the history of the National Football League. There has not been many times in which going into the game, people thought that Patrick Mahomes was the underdog. In fact, this will be the 15th time in his career that the other team is favored to win. The Chiefs are 11-3 in those games. There are some spots that we kind of know with Kansas City. The last couple of weeks, they've been somewhat big favorites in those games, and they have been tight, closely contested games. I would usually stay away from Kansas City if they're a 7.5, 8.5 point favorite. That's not usually where they thrive in this sense. But you're telling me that in a one-game sample size, it is just simply, do you think the Chiefs will win? Well, I'm going to take the quarterback who has an 80% winning percentage. I'm going to take the team with the better quarterback. I'm going to take the team with the better coach. I'm also going to take the team with the better defense if you were giving me this. The right side to be on in this game, the correct play to be on, is to take the Chiefs either plus the 2.5 if you're the gambling type, or simply take the Chiefs on the money line that the Chiefs will just win this game. I got a lot of respect for Buffalo. I think Buffalo is a very good team. I think Buffalo is a Super Bowl caliber team. And I understand that what we are talking about is the regular season, and it's very different than the postseason. The postseason, Buffalo has come up very short. But in the regular season, they've actually been pretty good against Kansas City. They've won 3 of the last 4 regular season matchups against this team. These teams, to me, I would say right now, their strengths are very similar. Also, their weaknesses are very similar. And that's why I'm looking to see who's going to play the cleaner game and who's going to avoid the mistake and whose defense is going to be able to get you off the field in a critical juncture. There's going to be a 3rd and 5, a 3rd and 6, where you are going to need your defense to get you off the field and give your offense a chance. The Chiefs' defense has come up pretty big in those spots almost every single time they have been asked this season. And this could quite possibly be their biggest test. I think that Josh Allen's the second best quarterback in the National Football League. This is an offense in Buffalo that has a lot of weapons. They're getting Amari Cooper back. You've got a capable run game. They're versatile in their ability to throw and run the ball. This is a very, very strong test for Kansas City. In my opinion, this is their strongest test of the entire regular season. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Nick Costos with You Better You Bet. We'll take a look at the gambling perspective of this game as we continue to break it down and get you ready for the biggest regular season game for the Chiefs in quite some time as they travel to Buffalo. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk about who the potential X factor could be in this game. In the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to have Steve Tasker on the show. He is in the Bills Hall of Fame. He is also on the Bills Radio Network. We also are going to have Trent McDuffie. We're also going to be joined by Nate Taylor. He will be on the show in the 4 o'clock hour. I want to try to cover this game from every single perspective. Let's head to the phone lines right now to get you the gambling perspective on things. I know that some of you like to wager on these games, or maybe you live in Missouri and drive over to the other side and you like to place a friendly wager on what the outcome is going to be on Sunday. Let's get you the latest with our guy Nick Costos. He is the host of the most popular gambling podcast out there, You Better You Bet. Nick, man, happy to have you join us on the show today. What side are you taking in Sunday's matchup?
So I will endear myself to your audience by saying I do like the Kansas City Chiefs in the game. So I have bet Kansas City to win, Kansas City plus the points. You could tease Kansas City up, and we can talk about maybe some legs to tease the Chiefs with, up to +8 or +8.5, where I do feel like one way or another the game is going to be close. I will say, though, Carrington, there is something that happened earlier this week that makes me like a little nervous about this bet, and that's Harrison Butker being placed on IR by the Chiefs, right? Because people could say whatever they want about Butker, like off the field, on the field. This is one of the best and most clutch kickers in the history of the NFL. And now the Chiefs go from Harrison Butker, who, you know, in a big spot, you always feel good that he's going to drill the kick. Now here's like former Jets practice squatter, curtain jerking jabroni, Spencer Schrader, kicking for the Chiefs. Like, it's not the same thing, right? Where if you need Butker to win the game, tie the game, and send it to overtime, like, you feel good about Butker making that kick. Like, Chiefs fans, and I'm not saying Schrader can't make the kick, but are you going to feel as good about it as you would with Harrison Butker? So that is something to consider with Chiefs bets here. But ultimately, I know the Bills have won the last three regular season meetings against the Chiefs. I don't care. Mahomes, as an underdog, he is the best underdog quarterback in the history of the NFL with a bullet. I will gladly bet the Chiefs at plus money just to win the game, Carrington, outright this Sunday in Buffalo.
Nick, we haven't talked about the total yet. Right now on FanDuel, the total for this game is at 46.5. Are you taking the over or the under in Chiefs-Bills?
I think this is it's not a bet for me. And if I had to bet it, like gave me $100, made me bet it, I would bet the under in the game. Because we know what Buffalo is going to do. It's the Sean McDermott defense. They will allow you to run the football in lieu of letting you kind of throw the ball and beat them deep. Not that Kansas City's built to do that right now with its personnel on offense. And Xavier Worthy and that has not had the connection going with Mahomes, right? So I think Buffalo is going to play back in the secondary, and they're going to make Kansas City dink and dunk and make Kansas City run the football. And then on the flip side, I mean, the Chiefs defense is obviously absolutely unbelievable. Buffalo will not only be down Dalton Kincaid in this game, but also like stud second-round rookie receiver Keon Coleman, who's really started to come on. Now, Amari Cooper is going to play for the Bills, but he has not really done much since he was traded from Cleveland to Buffalo. So I do think this is a lower-scoring game. I'm thinking somewhere in the range of 23-20, 24-21 Chiefs, which would be under the total then of 46.5.
Nick, give me a couple of anytime touchdown bets that you like, and is there a first touchdown bet? I think a lot of people are like me. I like to place a first touchdown bet. It kind of feels like a parlay to me that you can bet a little bit of money, and if you hit and if you get it right, you can put 10 on Travis Kelce and then turn that 10 into $105.
So do you? Are you okay if I give you a Bills first touchdown?
Of course, either one.
Okay, so the guy that I would look at for Buffalo, and I would say, like, get the best price on this, would be Dalton Kincaid, Buffalo's starting tight end, was ruled out today. So Kincaid is not going to – anyone got him in fantasy football? Like, get him out of your lineup. He's not playing on Sunday. So Dawson Knox will be Buffalo's starting tight end. And, like, Knox has been, like, the starting tight end for a lot of Josh Allen's tenure. But since they drafted Kincaid in the first round last year, Kincaid has been the number one. We have seen the Chiefs. The Chiefs' defense is awesome, right? But we have seen the Chiefs' defense get tagged by opposing tight ends throughout the season. They have given up the most receiving yards to tight ends of any team this season in the NFL. Now, it obviously has not burned them in terms of wins and losses, but that's not what we're talking about here, right? We're talking about, you know, touchdown bets or yardage props. So Dawson Knox's yardage prop, the first digit is a 2. That's wrong. I like Dawson Knox to go over his receiving yards prop.
I'm sure a lot of people listening right now love some player props. You mentioned targeting Dawson Knox as a possible player prop in this game. Give us a couple player props that you like on Sunday.
This is like not just with the Chiefs and the Bills.
No, yeah. Just Chiefs and Bills. Give us a couple of Chiefs and Bills player props that you like.
All right, so I think there's a couple interesting ones, right? And we kind of conceptualize like how we think this game's going to play out. The Mahomes DeAndre Hopkins connection is obviously burgeoning, right? And I think that's something that if you as a better, you as a fantasy player, like I have Hopkins in a couple fantasy leagues. My thought is going to be that as the season goes between Mahomes and DeAndre Hopkins, like Hopkins is like a borderline Hall of Fame player. Big players generally show up to big games. Hopkins' receiving yards prop in this game is sitting at 49.5. I love the over on DeAndre Hopkins over receiving yards. Xavier Worthy's receiving yards prop has dropped to an insane, like it is low. 22.5 for Xavier Worthy. But it's like if they don't connect on the big play, and like they haven't been able to connect on the big play like a couple times this season, but more often than not, like Worthy makes a bad play or Mahomes overthrows him like he did last week in the Denver game, right? Like they overthrew him down the sideline, and the Chiefs ultimately settles for a field goal later in the game to go up 16-14. Like I don't know if I trust Xavier Worthy. So for Chiefs pass catchers, the guy that I would look at would be DeAndre Hopkins in terms of going over his receiving yards prop. And then just another thought on anytime touchdowns. I think with Juju Smith-Schuster set to play this weekend, and we think he's playing, right? Juju's going to play this weekend for the Chiefs after he missed a couple weeks. So now we have something interesting here, right, where Hopkins, Kelce, and Hunt will be like the guys that touch the ball the most, besides for Mahomes, obviously. The guys that touch the ball the most, that get the football the most, which leaves you with Worthy, Hardman, Justin Watson, Juju, and even Noah Gray as other ancillary targets that could potentially get the football from Patrick Mahomes. So if you're looking to bet any time touchdowns, I would look at like the guy that's at the longest odds in that list that I just gave you.
That is my guy Nick Costos joining us on the show today. He is the host of the most popular gambling podcast that's out there, You Better You Bet. He does fantastic work with BetQL. Nick, great stuff, man. We appreciate your help getting us ready for this massive showdown between the Chiefs and the Bills, man. I appreciate you.
You got it, buddy. Wishing you and all the listeners minimal sweats winning bets, the absolute very best of luck, and let's go Chiefs.
That is my guy Nick Costos here to give you the gambling perspective of the game. Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you our parlay for the weekend. We did poorly last week when Rob wasn't here. We'll try to get back on the winning side of things this week. We'll also talk a little bit about the fight coming up later today on Netflix in about 5 to 10 minutes or so. I do want to get you guys' thoughts on this. 913-586-7965. A storyline that not many of us were expecting is the loss of Harrison Butker. Now, in hindsight, we probably should have saw this coming. You remember the last kick from Harrison Butker was the kickoff, and it landed outside the landing zone, and it was kind of odd. It was, well, were you told to do this? But why would you have been told to do this? Because it's such a significant penalty to not kick the ball in the landing zone. So it was a little bit odd. It was something that they discussed over the week, but they didn't really go into too much of detail. He's then popped up on the injury report, and then he had surgery yesterday. So it has been sort of a quick 72 hours. Harrison Butker is not going to play in this game. I did the math for you guys. So in the games against the Buffalo Bills, Harrison Butker is 14 of 16 on field goals. He is also 20 of 22 on extra points. So he has been incredibly reliable in these games against the Buffalo Bills. And how the Chiefs play and their strategy is different when you have Harrison Butker. When you have maybe the strongest leg in the National Football League, if you pass half field or midfield, you feel like you got a really good chance of scoring and getting points. We also know that Andy tends to be a little bit conservative in these matchups and usually tends to take the points. Well, when you have a kicker that's basically automatic, it makes a lot of sense to take the points. Rob, I would say that one question that is sort of hanging over this game and hanging over the Chiefs that I don't think any of us can give you the answer to is, what is their kicking situation going to be like without Harrison Butker? How are they going to play things without Harrison Butker? And how is it going to affect their offense and how they operate? Are they going to do something different on third down because they are looking at it as four down territory and they are planning to go forward on fourth down? Or is this just not going to change their strategy at all and they're going to put a lot on a kid who just doesn't have a whole lot of experience? You go from having one of the most experienced kickers in the National Football League to, I'm going to guess, probably the least experienced kicker. The guy's made 2 field goals in his career and a handful of extra points. He doesn't have a whole lot of game experience. Now, it doesn't feel like the weather is going to be a factor. I believe it's going to be 55 degrees, not going to be wet, not going to be snowy. So the ideals are going to be ideal for kicking. But what do the Chiefs do offensively on Sunday? Are they going to be aggressive? Are they going to go for it? Are they going to sort of operate business as usual and not change things because they don't have their kicker, who in the games against the Buffalo Bills has been as close to automatic that you can be?
So I don't mean to cop out of your question because I think it's a very fair one, but I don't think anyone knows the answer, and I don't think the Chiefs know the answer either, because we all remember that game in Indianapolis, the game the Chiefs blew, I believe it was 2 years ago, the Chris Jones talks to Phillip Rivers game. Remember, they had a non-Butker kicker in for that one, too. It was Matt Amendola, and he was bad. Like, he was really bad in that game. I believe he missed an extra point. He may have missed a second extra point. He missed a kick. And what we saw the Chiefs do was they got ultra-aggressive. They started going for two. They were more aggressive on fourth down. Like, Andy Reid, mid-game, realized, uh-oh, I don't have the answer at kicker, and he then pivoted to a more aggressive game plan. He did that in the moment. But as someone on Twitter pointed out to me, they also didn't have Harrison Butker for that, you're messing with the wrong blanker game between Crosby and Mahomes. They had Matthew Wright at kicker. That day, Matthew Wright hit a 59-yarder, and they were regular offense, regular decision-making. Like, they came back from 17 down to win that game. It wasn't like Andy Reid was ultra-aggressive. He was just kind of regular. So again, not to cop out, I don't know because I don't think the Chiefs know. If he misses one early or looks shaky on an extra point, I could see the Chiefs pivoting to a more aggressive game plan. But if he looks like a diet Harrison Butker, man, he can't hit the 61-yarder, but he can make it from 45 to 55, and he's putting him out of the end zone on touchbacks, and he's right down the middle on extra points, then I can see the Chiefs be like, hey, it's business as usual, but I don't know, you don't know. I don't think Dave Tobin, Andy Reid know. It's one of those things you kind of got to react when you see it. What's the Mike Tyson quote? Everyone's got a game plan until they get punched in the face. I don't think the Chiefs have a game plan for kicker. They're just waiting until they get punched in the face to find out.
Text line 913-586-7965. Harrison being out scares me a lot. The Chiefs like to keep games close, and he's needed for games like these. This is the part that would worry me. Exactly that. I don't think the Chiefs are running away from Buffalo. So this kicker is going to have, you would believe, 2 to 3 opportunities. That's why, at least in this game, you got to really finish drives. And I know we kicked last week on the road at Arizona. The game was a blowout. They only scored 6 points. This is going to be going into an incredibly hostile environment and a real pressurized situation. This could be the difference in you winning or losing. So again, I'm not here to stir up any fear-mongering here. This is just an unknown. This guy could come in here and he can be exceptional in this game. Make every single kick. We worried about nothing, and you feel confident in him moving forward for the next couple of weeks. I do give the kid a lot of credit. The kid bet on himself. He could have continued to be the kicker of the Jets. He chose to come to Kansas City. You had to know the game that was coming up and the environment. This is the opportunity that the kid wants. I want to show that I'm a kicker in the NFL. So he's not just kicking for the Kansas City Chiefs. They have their kicker. He is kicking for the rest of the league. So if you go and you ball out for the next 3 to 4 weeks, whenever Harrison Butker comes back and he's healthy and the Chiefs eventually let you go, what's not to say that you get picked up by the Pittsburgh Steelers, you get picked up by Seattle, you get picked up by Green Bay or a team that's looking for a kicker. So this is a position that you usually aren't given a whole lot of opportunities. You have been given a pretty big opportunity. You are kicking in the biggest National Football League game so far this season. How do you perform? How do you handle the pressure? How do you execute? Playing well in this game changes your life if you are him, if you go and you play well over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And we obviously got to see what happens with him and how he goes out and how he performs. Let's talk about this, and we'll get to the Tyson fight here coming up in a bit. Who do you think the potential X factor could be in this game? I asked the question because the last time that these two teams played each other, I think we saw who the X factor was. It was MVS. Now, playoff MVS was a little bit different than regular season MVS. I don't know what it was. But last season, the last time that these two teams played each other, MVS was their second leading receiver. He had 2 catches for 68 yards, and he had a big pass play. He had 2 big pass plays. He had 1 catch of 32 yards and another catch of 30 yards. So 2 big plays that obviously aided in the Chiefs winning that game. Rashee Rice was not great. He had 4 catches for 47 yards, and they didn't really get anything else from any wide receiver in January when these two teams went up against each other. We know who the possible names are. Rob, who do you think the X factor could be? I'll throw in a name. They've been real close to getting the Xavier Worthy thing to work. They tried it in the Tampa Bay game. They narrowly missed. He was wide open in the Broncos game. Mahomes throws it out of bounds. You know that they're going to take at least one shot in trying to get him the football. It also really lines itself up. You can already see the CBS package and highlight montage that they've put together. Well, Buffalo had a chance to draft Xavier Worthy, but they traded him to the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's the trades that have been made between these two teams. Ha, 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 Jim, can you believe that they traded Patrick Mahomes to... You can already hear the conversation happening between Nance and Romo on Sunday when Xavier Worthy makes a play. So if you're asking me right now, who do I think is going to be an X factor? Because I'm removing Juju from this conversation, because if Juju's healthy and you're telling me that they have Kareem Hunt who's healthy, Travis Kelce who's healthy, DeAndre Hopkins and Juju, you certainly have enough firepower going on the road to Buffalo. But you're probably going to need somebody else to make a big play. You're going to need somebody else on a jet sweep. Somebody's going to catch a screen play. Somebody's going to make a special teams play. Let me nominate Xavier Worthy as the guy who I think is going to be given the opportunity to make that play.
I'm going to pick Noah Gray. And I feel like I continue to pick Noah Gray basically week after week in these things, but the Chiefs trust him, and he seems to 2 to 3 times a game make that play. Now, maybe by X factor, I don't think we're going to on Monday be like, can you believe Noah Gray had 5 for 87 and a touchdown? I don't think that's happening. But the Chiefs win. When we're talking about the show on Monday, I think we're going to talk about multiple drives that were extended because Patrick Mahomes found Noah Gray open. Noah Gray will finish like 3 for 27, but 2 of them got a first down on a 3rd and 6, and those drives resulted in touchdowns, and that's how the Chiefs win. I think Noah Gray is an X factor in this game because the more and more you think about these Buffalo matchups of the years, Buffalo and Sean McDermott are pretty content to let you run the ball and dink and dunk. They don't really give up the big, deep home run play. Well, that kind of takes Worthy out of it for me. Dink and dunk, I imagine they're going to really hyper-focus on Kelce because they should hyper-focus on Kelce, which means in that same area, Noah Gray will be that guy. So if you're asking me for an X factor, I got Noah Gray this weekend.
I also think Mecole Hardman could be a big help to this team in special teams. He's really sort of locked in on what his role is, and I give Mecole a lot of credit for a guy who came in as a second-round pick. You could certainly see somebody feeling a way that you have been replaced in a lot of ways. He was Xavier Worthy 4 or 5 years ago, but he's come in, and since he left for the Jets and come back, you haven't heard a peep out of Mecole Hardman. He is really locked in on being the jet sweep guy, the screen guy, really locked in to being a kick return and punt return specialist for this team. I could see Mecole Hardman getting 4 or 5 targets, them using him in the screen game, and then potentially making a difference in that way. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll give you guys a parlay that hopefully you win with. We struggled last week when Rob was gone, but Rob is back. We're going to get our mojo back. We're going to get back on track. We're going to give you a winning parlay coming up in 10 minutes. Rob, let's talk about the fight that's coming up later tonight between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. We played this for you yesterday. Maybe you missed it. Boy, they have been selling this fight. Mike Tyson slapping Jake Paul yesterday was the best promotional tool that they needed. If I was the people running Netflix right now, if you were going on there to watch Orange is the New Black or Ozark or Love is Blind or whatever show they got, the number one thing when you turn on that app, I would show you Mike Tyson slapping Jake Paul and tell you that they are planning on fighting later today. Boy, have they been selling this fight. They even got the kids in on the promotion of this thing.
Well, in your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Well, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about a legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when I get dead? Why do you want somebody, you think somebody really wants to think about you? What's the audacity? I think I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me when I'm gone?
One of my good friends told me this, and I've tried to keep Jake Paul's fight career in this lens. For those of you that are around my age, you know what I'm talking about. You maybe loved the NBA, you loved college basketball, but you also really appreciated And1, and you knew that the two were very different. If you want real hardcore boxing, trust me, it is out there. Tyson Fury fights in a couple of weeks. You can watch Terrence Crawford. You can watch Canelo Alvarez. You can watch Tank Davis. If you want the best boxers in the world, this fight is not for you, and that's not what Jake Paul is. You know what this is? This is WWE. This is Rocky fighting Thunderlips at the beginning of Rocky III. This is an exhibition. It's fun. It's entertaining. I'm not telling you to put any real money down on this fight. Why would you do this? But am I going to be sitting down in front of the television, watching on Netflix, Mike Tyson go up against Jake Paul? Absolutely. Now, let's be real here, folks. I know that you guys have it in your mind that Mike Tyson's the baddest man on the planet. I'm guessing at some point you have sat next to your friend and you guys have had a beer or been eating wings and you asked, hey, how much would it take for you to take a punch from Mike Tyson? You were thinking about Iron Mike Tyson. This is Michael Tyson. They are not the same individual. I am here to tell you that your childhood is going to be ruined later today when you see that under 30-year-old man pummel on your childhood hero is what's going to happen later today. Jake Paul is about to beat Mike Tyson's up. That's what he's about to do. He's about to beat him up. I'm telling you that's what's about to happen. So if you are watching this just hoping that Mike's got a little bit more magic in those gloves, that he can just connect with one shot, just know that Mike Tyson would usually be in bed by the time this fight's going to start. You know what's about to happen. They'll give you a little intrigue in the first one, maybe two rounds. The fight will continue on. Mike will be tired, and Jake will do just enough to keep you interested and keep you on the app so you don't turn it off. I got Jake Paul by decision today. I don't think that Jake Paul's knocking him out. I don't think that Mike's knocking Jake out. I think they're going to box. I think it'll be fun. Mike will kind of do something crazy. Ho, to get you all excited. And nothing's going to happen. If you are expecting to see Mike Tyson that was dating Robin Givens, then you need to go on YouTube and watch that fighter, because that is not the one that's going to be on Netflix later today. Coming up, Rob, let's give people a parlay and try to help them win a little bit of money. We'll also talk about Josh Allen, who is at a very interesting place in his career. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into the show. This is what I want to do. We'll talk about Josh Allen here coming up in a bit and how his career has gotten off and the start that it has. And we'll also catch up with Steve Tasker coming up in a bit. Also, Trent McDuffie will do both of those things coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We also have a Carrington hypothetical button game. We're busy here today on The Drive. All right, Rob. Let's get to our weekly parlay. Our parlay is brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. Hit me, Rob. This team has been an absolute covering machine, and I know, Rob, it's going to hurt you for me to put this team in our parlay, but I have to do it. Kansas is absolutely better, no doubt about it. But we trust Kansas enough to go on the road and now win these games. You're going to give me the 7th-ranked team in the country, and you're going to give me less than 3 points. I have to take them in that scenario. This would be different if it was an Arrowhead, and I know that I doubted Kansas last week and their game against Iowa State. Kansas is now not going on the road and beating top 10 team. BYU minus 2.5. They're not even giving you a lot of juice in this. BYU on the money line is minus 130. So if you want to put BYU in your own parlay, just take them on the money line, pair with a couple of other things, and you don't even got to deal with the points. You can do that as well. I will take BYU minus the 2.5. Kansas is better. No denying that. I don't think they're good enough to win this game. If you think that, don't even take the plus 2.5. Take plus 108 and take KU. I'm on the other side. Give me BYU minus 2.5.
A reminder, when I was gone, Quentin took Iowa State and he got burned.
He did. Absolutely.
I was listening to Lawrence. People on Mass Street were clamoring with anger about Quentin. That's neither here nor there. Carrington, I'm going to take an underdog on the road. I'm going to take Arkansas against Texas this weekend plus the 12.5. Arkansas is better this year. They were an absolute rollover last year. They presided no stoppage to any good team. But they are better this year. They beat Tennessee earlier this year at home. And this is an old school. If you're, you know, your parents or your grandparents, they remember Arkansas, Texas used to be a rivalry from way back in the day. So there's some venom in this game. I'm taking Arkansas plus the 12.5. You play that in our friends at FanDuel, it is plus 264.
All right, the next play that we want to give you guys is an NFL play. There's a couple of different directions that we can go. I like the Chiefs on the money line. If you want to throw them in there, I get it. I also like the Broncos at home minus 1.5. I think they're getting a little bit disrespected, but the line's a little too close for my blood. I will continue to ride the San Francisco 49ers. I really think that they've turned their season around. They should have covered last week, but they had the couple of missed field goals. You guys remember Debo Samuel goes over there and basically chokes out the kicker and the long snapper. I think San Francisco takes care of business at home minus 6.5. You're not even paying a whole lot of juice. You're getting it at minus 112. Go ahead and give me San Francisco minus 6.5 at home against Seattle. I like it.
I'm going to take the Bengals on Sunday Night Football plus the 1.5. Here's the deal. The Chargers turnaround has been very impressive. Jim Harbaugh is a fantastic coach, but that team is winning by scoring like 17 a night. They're going to win based on how Michigan football won last year. We're going to run, we're going to batter, we're going to bruise you, we're going to play good defense and walk out of there 17-14 or 20-17. And that's a fine game plan. Everything's fine and dandy when you're playing the Tennessee Titans, but this is a level up in competition for LA, and T. Higgins is back. The Bengals might have one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. We just don't talk about the Bengals because they're 4-6 and their offense is great, their defense is worse, but they can score, and the Chargers are not a team that can score with the Bengals. So I like Joe Burrow and the boys plus 1.5 on Sunday Night Football. You parlay that with Niners minus 6.5, it's plus 261.
All right, so in college, I'm taking BYU. Who do you have, Rob?
I got Arkansas plus 12.5.
And in the National Football League, I am taking San Francisco, and you have?
I have the Bengals plus 1.5.
We'll get back to the Chiefs and the Bills here. Let's talk about Josh Allen, who his career is very, very similar to Peyton Manning when he was at Indianapolis. Now, don't get it confused. Peyton Manning was definitely a better quarterback than Josh Allen. Peyton Manning, in my opinion, is one of the five greatest quarterbacks that we have ever seen. But if you look at their first handful of years as starters, they're very, very similar. In their first 7 years, Josh Allen won 71 games. Peyton Manning won 66 games. They were both, I would say, the clear second best quarterback of their era. Peyton Manning was 0-6 in his first 6 games against Tom Brady, hadn't made it to a Super Bowl, and there were a lot of questions about Peyton Manning and his ability to win the big game. I know now that we have seen the entire story play itself out, and we saw Peyton Manning get 2 rings, but very early on in his career, a lot of people questioned if Peyton Manning could get over the hump and win the big game and defeat his nemesis. It took him a lot of time to do it. Again, Peyton Manning was 0-4-6 in his first 6 tries against Tom Brady. He eventually beat Tom Brady. He eventually was able to get over that hump. Do we not see the exact same similarities in Josh Allen? Now, Josh Allen is not 0-6 against Patrick Mahomes, but we are talking about there are two completely different Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs games. In the regular season, the Bills have won 3 of 4 of those games. The Bills have been better than the Chiefs in games like we are going to see on Sunday. But when the weather gets cold, when we get to January, the Chiefs have been better than Buffalo. The Chiefs took care of them in their first playoff matchup in the AFC Championship game where Josh Allen got frustrated and threw the ball at Chris Jones. Their second game, Buffalo had, I mean, I don't know if you want to call it a choke, a collapse, whatever you want to say. They had that game in the bag. And for you to give up a lead with less than 20 seconds to go, you lose the coin flip, you never get an opportunity. That is an all-time heartbreaker. And last year in the postseason, you finally had Kansas City coming to you. You've always had to go to Kansas City in the games that really, really matter. You finally had your home opportunity, your home shot for a team that was perceived to be down. It was one thing to beat up on Miami in the wild card round. Now you got to go on the road and you got to do this against a Buffalo team that had a really strong second half of the season and put themselves in playoff contention. And the Chiefs did what they usually do. They won, they took care of business, and they continued to keep the rest of the AFC at arm's length. Rob, there is so many similarities between the beginning of Peyton Manning's career and how he would usually hit his head on a ceiling, and that ceiling was the New England Patriots. There's a lot of similarities between that and Josh Allen, who has done almost the exact same thing. And every time Josh Allen has believed he has had a chance or the ability to go to the Super Bowl, he has knocked his head on the exact same team every single time.
That's why, and you asked Sean Barber this yesterday, and I believe you asked Danny this yesterday when he was on the show. Who are the other quarterbacks in the AFC that eventually make the Super Bowl? Because Patrick Mahomes is not going to make every Super Bowl for the rest of his career. The numbers just would say that's never going to happen. Patrick Mahomes is awesome. He's not going the rest of his career as an appearance guy at minimum in the Super Bowl. And those numbers make me think it's going to be Josh Allen. You're right. There was a time in NFL football where we asked the question, will Peyton Manning ever win the big one? Or is Peyton Manning just Dan Marino? That was an actual conversation we had. Looking back at it, it looks ridiculous because Peyton Manning goes down as one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But that's what we were talking about. Remember that 03 game where back when the rules were you could basically fight a wide receiver at the line of scrimmage, Ty Law was punching Marvin Harrison in the line, and they were smoking the Patriots. But eventually, Peyton got over the hump. That's how I feel about Josh Allen. He's very, very good. Eventually, he's going to get over the Mahomes hump. He's going to go down as the inferior to Mahomes historically for all the obvious reasons, but those numbers continue to indicate to me eventually Josh Allen finds his way or wins one of the Super Bowls.
And the thing about big games is no one believes you can win them until you win them. Like, history usually says you won't do the great thing. You won't win the championship. You won't have that kind of success. And you eventually have to prove the doubters wrong. It sounds a lot like Jason Tatum. When you really think about it, this is kind of the career path of Jason Tatum. Got close a couple of times, had questions if he could win the big one. You win the big one, and then no one ever has that conversation about you anymore. That's where Josh Allen is. He has reached a point, I would say, a little bit different than Lamar because he doesn't have the individual awards and accolades that Lamar Jackson is. No one cares if Buffalo wins or loses this game. If they win, great. They beat Kansas City. If you lose, that's kind of what some people expect. That Josh Allen is reaching the point where there is just one more box left for you to check. We all have put, I don't want to say the crown on your head because Mahomes has it, but we have all labeled you as you are his biggest rival. Well, at some point, the rival has to win. Phil Mickelson eventually had to win a major. Jason Tatum had to win a championship. These other guys eventually had to get over the hump. When will or will Josh Allen eventually get over the hump? We'll find out. Coming up on the other side, we have a Carrington hypothetical game related to Sunday's matchup. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.